Nothing compares to this. See, we have to know why we are here. Amen? Why we are here, we determine what we do here, we determine what we place priority upon here. Amen? We are not here because of anything. We are just here because of what Jesus did. Praise God. So when you are in church, you focus on that. You focus on that. You don't get distracted from that. Praise God. You are in church because of what Jesus has done for you, and you do well to focus on that in service. Focus on that. Focus on the word. Focus on the ministry of the supernatural. Focus on being blessed. Focus on being on getting better. It's not out of place to say words like, I will not return the same way I came. Hallelujah. It's not out of place. It's not a religious word. The expectation you place on a service, the type of desire that you place on a service, will determine what we get back to you. Amen. Praise God. Say the name of Jesus. It's my full time. I use it every time. Hallelujah. Say, even without calling JESUS, I know to use the name of Jesus. Say, when I act in boldness, I use the name of Jesus. Say, when I emphasize my righteousness, that is me using the name of Jesus. When I say I am healed, even in the midst of negative symptoms, that is me using the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. John 3. John 3 verse 4. Being born again, part 2. Hope it's not difficult for Henry T, for you getting this place today. Is it easy? Not difficult? Okay. Thank you. Who else is new behind? I can see. Okay, Tony, hope it's not difficult. Hallelujah. Okay, John 3, verse 4. Are you there, everybody? Yep. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Hallelujah. Okay, yes, last week we dealt with verse 2, verse 3. And okay, let's just progress from there. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born? It is just him trying. Okay, let's read from verse 1 again. Everybody want to go from verse 1? Verily I say unto you, how can a man be born? Verse 5, yes. Verse 6. Verse 7. In verse 8, the wind blows where it leads that you end. Verse 9, keep. Yes. Yes. Seventeen again. Eighteen. Hallelujah. Believe. Okay, I didn't know if you can also see it from verse 17. He's saying God did not send into his son into the world to what? To condemn the world. That means anything you use the authority of Jesus for must not be for condemnation. Amen. Anything you use that authority in the name of Jesus for must not be for condemnation. Now, some people try to run to that scripture. Go there again. That should be John 20. Go to John 20, verse, that should be around verse 19. No, is it John, verse 23. Let me read verse 22. You read 23 for me. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 23, yes, sirs. He said, whosoever sins you what? You remit. They are remitted. But what? Whosoever sins you retain. They are what? So, how can you remit somebody's sin? By what? Preaching the gospel. How can you retain someone's sins? By refusing to preach the gospel. Amen. So, Jesus is not telling them here that, okay, you are, guys, now you are free. Now you are Jews. You can go to the world, anybody you feel like you can retain their sin, anybody you feel like you can remit their sin. No, that's not what he's saying. He's actually telling them about the consequence of their refusal to preach the gospel. Say, guys, if you don't preach the gospel, to me, this is John's version of Mark 16. When he's saying, go ye to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized and is saved, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned. Amen. So he said, so the refusal of preaching is just condemnation. If you don't preach, the other one, your audience sins will be what? Will be retained. So God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. We don't use the name of Jesus for fall down and die. We don't use it to pray against human beings. I just put up a post on Facebook last night, and some people were saying, well, I say, come on, we don't have such authority in Christianity. We don't. Authority to tell somebody that, you know, because you are a rapist, because you are a jihadist, therefore you are doomed, you will die, you will smell. That is not Christianity. Amen. We are called by God. We don't make intercession against people like Elijah did. Praise God. Okay. So today, we progress in what we have been looking at. That verse 4, go back to verse 4. And I mean, if you can also see again that in John 3:3 and John 3:16 is actually in the same chapter. Sorry, that is actually like a tautology. John 3:3 and John 3:16. So if the easiest way, when somebody is trying to juggle his head about John 3:3, tell him, sir, verse 16 is also in the same chapter, the same line of thought. So in verse 4, we can see that Nicodemus did not actually get what Jesus was saying. He was saying, how will it happen? And Jesus now explained that, okay, of course, last week we studied that being born again means you are born from where? From where? From above, right? So as a saint, you came from where? You came from heaven. You came from there. You started your Christian journey from heaven. That is your genesis. That is your beginning. So verse 5, Jesus now answered, very verily I say unto thee, look at your Bible, don't look at me. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So how is a man born from above? He must be born of water and of the Spirit. How can a man be born from above? How can a man be born again? He must be born of what? Water and of the Spirit. Okay, it's easy for you to think that this born of water here means water baptism. Well, without going into grammatical analysis of verse 5, let's just, you know, I always prefer scriptural analysis. Say, being born of water and of the Spirit. Now, you can see Spirit mentioned in verse 5. What of verse 6? Is Spirit there? Okay. What of verse 7? What of verse 8? So you have spirit nation where? Verse 5, verse what? 6 and verse... Okay, and how many times do we have water? Where? Verse 5 alone. So we saw water being mentioned once, we saw spirit being mentioned 3 times. Okay, that is not actually enough for you to discard the water. Let's now go through the scripture, Ezekiel. Sorry, not Pastor Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. See how water is used. Don't forget, Jesus is not speaking to a Yoruba man. He was speaking to a Jew. A Jew, a man that understands the Torah. He understands the law. He understands how God deals with the Hebrews. Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Okay, slowly let me take that 25. You will take 26 for me. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Hold on. Is that not surprising? How many times will God sprinkle clean water? Once. He didn't say, I will keep sprinkling clean water upon you. No. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. But what will be the result? You shall be what? Clean from all your filthiness and from how many of your idols? All. Hallelujah. So who does the cleansing? God or man? So it is an anti-redemptive prayer for a Christian to pray that God cleanse me. God make me holy. God, I am as dirty as a filthy rag. God, I am this, I am that. No. If you know you are dirty, then what you need is sprinkling of the water. Hallelujah. So, leave him. So you don't focus on the wrong thing. It is wrong for you to focus on the cleansing. What you need to do is to what? Focus on the sprinkling. Amen. E.g., they said that, okay, if you pay your NEPA bill, don't worry, you will have power in your house. And you are bothering that, you are going to the meter, you are trying to do some bypass, you are trying to cheat NEPA, you are trying to do some mago-mago, and you are saying, why is this thing not coming on? You are knocking the meter. That is not your responsibility. Your own responsibility is to pay your bill. It is NEPA's responsibility to know how to get what? Get power into your house. Same way, it's not your the cleansing is not your business. Your business is what? The sprinkling. It's for you to receive the sprinkling. Amen? Now go to verse 26. Want to go? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart from... And I will give you... Hallelujah. 27. And I will put my... And cause you... And you shall keep my... And... Hallelujah. Okay, from verse 25 to verse 27... How many times was the word spirit used there? Check. Be fast. How many times? Twice, right? How many times was the word water used again? Once. So you can see water being used in connection with the spirit. So simply, being born of water is an earthly way of describing being born of the spirit. Are you with me? Wife, are you following? Okay, it's an earthly way of describing being born of the spirit. Go to John chapter 4. You passed. Tony is just 8 o'clock. I mean, 9 o'clock. Don't be tired. John chapter 4. John 4 verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria, this is a long read, to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples who have gone away unto the city to buy meat. Amen. So Jesus was hungry. Verse 9. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water, right? Okay, 11. The woman saith unto him, sir, You don't have anything to draw with, oh, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water. Stop there. Can you see the word? The water. Definite article. I believe if Jesus was talking about the natural water, he should have told that woman to maybe fetch water from the well, and Jesus will pour that water on her head and she will be clean. But Jesus was saying the water I was talking about is definite. Okay. Where am I? Verse 14, right? So whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. Another thing about this water is that who gives it? Jesus. Who say God there? Somebody say God. Amen. You are a witness. Hallelujah. Jehovah's. Okay. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. Hallelujah. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. So do we have water, a well in anybody here? If you have a well of water in you, raise up your hand so we can bring buckets. I'm actually thirsty. I need some water. Sir? You have rivers. Where is it? Hallelujah. You have to be very particular. You know, he's saying the water. See, if he needs your phone, your Bible, your money, just give him. No cry. Praise God. So whosoever shall drink of the water. Hello, everybody, verse 14. You ask there again. But the water that I shall give him shall be where? In him. Please, the Bible is not mystical. If he said there is a water in you, then there is a water in you. Then what you need to ask for, what you need to inquire about is where, what is the water in you? Praise God. Hello, are you with me, everybody? Okay, now go to verse. Jesus and him, and the woman did not do some demo. Okay, how many husbands do you have? How many bulls, bears do you have? And they start talking about us. Now come back to verse 21. 21. Are you there? Okay, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh. Let me read 20. You read 21 for me. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. 21, yes? Oh, 22, you worship. But the hour and now is when the true shall worship the Father. Where now? In spirit. And in where? For the Father seeketh such. 24, everybody want to go? So you can see Jesus talking about water before. And later, he just turned it around again. The Spirit. Because the Roman, I don't want to go into the details of this, he was asking in 20, he said, all of you are saying Jerusalem is the authentic place to worship. You are saying, if you are not in Jerusalem, you are nowhere. And that is the same reason why that Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, how to travel all the way from Africa to what? To Jerusalem to worship. So before, worship was location based. And Jesus now told the woman, yes, it was true. Hallelujah. He said, but the hour is coming. Hallelujah. Say the hour is coming. Say, but the hour is here. Hallelujah. So it's not more about a location. There was a time that worship was tied to a location. Are you with me, somebody? Say, it is true. See, there is something that we have to know in the scriptures. Please, everybody, eyes up, everybody. Don't write anything. Listen to this carefully. Something might be true some years ago and may no longer be true today.
Some things must be called was true. All our righteousness is as a filthy rag. You will say, yes, was true. Your sins are separated between you and God. You will say, yes, was true. Amen. So that is what some people are not willing to accept. That there is actually a game changer in the Bible. The fact that it was true does not mean it is true. See verse 23 again. Want to go, everybody? Yes, sir. But the hour cometh. Hallelujah. Stop. That will mean, even right now, it looks like the hour is not yet here. Jesus is saying something is about to happen and worship will cease to be connected to a physical location. So there are times that some of our old churches, that even their pulpits, they will say no kids must come. Say why? Altar. You want to come to the altar? In fact, before they will decorate, they will put a ring around it. Holiest of all, touch not, enter not, except the pastor. And the worst I've ever seen was a very big man of God that will put a big chair on the altar. Even he himself does not sit on it. That chair is for God. In fact, ushers don't clean the chair. He cleans it himself. The chair for God. Imagine, after 2017 years AD, you are still putting chair on the pulpit. Not cool at all. Let's stick with our subject today. Isaiah 44.
Don't touch the camera. I will collect offering from all of you today. We need a children's church. Please buy, sell all your phones. Get 400K.
Isaiah 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44 verse 3. Want to go, everybody? Yes? Again, 44 verse 3, yes. I will pour water upon him that is. Ooh, hallelujah. How many things will the Lord pour there? Number one, water. Number three. You said flood. Okay, number three was? Okay, let me see. It's flood. I know flood is here. And flood upon the what?
Dry ground.
Amen. Oh. Praise God. Are you a dry ground? Okay, anyway, I understand what you're saying. Okay, so water and flood is the same, right? Abi? Or is it a flood of blood? Flood of what? Flood of water, don't it? Amen. Okay, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and flood upon the dry ground. And I will pour what is the next thing? I'll pour what? So, and what's the next thing? So, can you understand that the water, the flood, the spirit, and the blessing, they are the same? Amen. The water, the flood, the spirit, the blessing, they are all what? Okay, same thing, not new things. Okay, go to John 7 now. John 7, don't be distracted. Let the kids do their own. What's the issue? Don't be distracted. Open scripture, focus on the man that is preaching. John 7, 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Are you there, everybody?
Yeah.
Don't just open the Bible for show. You open the Bible and read. Okay, verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. 39. Want to go, everybody? But this spake he of the which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus. So, what is the meaning of to be born of water? To be born of the Spirit. So, being born of water is just a symbol, a way to describe being born of what? The Spirit. Are you with me, somebody?
Yes,
being born of water will be another, a better description of being born of what? The Spirit. An earthly description. So, no man needs water baptism to be born again. No man. No, not one. No, not one. So, the new birth is to be born of the Spirit. That will mean the new birth is a spiritual birth. Is a spiritual metamorphosis, not physical. The new birth takes place in the Spirit. Verse 6 of John 3 now said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Is Spirit. Verse 24 of John chapter 4 said, God is a Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him where? In Spirit. And we are in truth. Amen. So saying, what's the meaning of that? Only the man in Christ can truly worship God. Say they that worship him was worshiping where? In spirit. That means worship is not really about what you do, but about who you are. The day you became born again, you started praising God from that day, from henceforth forever. Whether you talk or you are not talking, your spirit giveth praise to God continually. Whether you are singing or you are frowning, you are still giving glory to God. Of course, there is a place where you not allow your body to take over to express what your spirit is actually doing. But you must know that you are always a praise to God yourself. Say, I'm a praise to God. Hallelujah. So nothing may happen on the body, but that does not negate the fact that an eternal transaction just took place. The new birth does not, please write this down. Some people will say the new birth starts in the spirit and ends up in the body. No. The new birth does not start in the spirit. The new birth fully takes place in the spirit. Are you with me? Hope you usually go over this in your notes. Hope it's not just for show. When I see the way you respond to messages on Facebook, I know if you are actually following your notes. So, the new birth does not take place, does not start in the spirit. It fully takes place in the spirit. It's spiritual. So, you don't look for a man that, anyway, I'll get there before I finish this sermon. You don't look for a born-again man by the outward appearance. Sorry, you will miss it. Hey, you will miss it big time. Our bodies honoring God will also be an output of the spirit reality. Not the other way. It's not that when you are honoring God with your body, is then your spirit is saved. No. Your spirit is saved. Therefore, you will what? Honor God with your body. Praise God. So, back to the main points. John 3. Verse 7. No, it's very funny. Look at this verse 7. Want to go by 7? Marvel not. You must be. Okay, imagine.
His number, Nicodemus gave us a very right confusion. Like, he was confused legally. How can I now be telling one of these kids that you must be born? Amen? Is it not the parents that I should have spoken to give back to them? What are the baby's responsibility in their birth? Hallelujah. That will mean the believer is actually a product of something greater than him. I will get it very soon. See verse 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Please be focused on your Bible. So same way your parents brought you forth without your participation, same way God must bring you forth without your participation. Look at verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listed, that heareth the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it came from or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of what? Born of the Spirit. So now, do you see the wind in reality? Hello? See what he's saying in verse 8. The wind bloweth where it listed. You can hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it is coming or where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So you don't see the wind, but you see the effect of the wind. Right? That will mean... The effect is not the wind. But the effect is the proof to people around that there is wind. Right? E.g., if wind is blowing here, funny enough, if you can see a pure wind, it has no visual. But when the wind is carrying dust, carrying particles, you will be able to see the particles. That means you can tell if there is wind there by the particles he is carrying. Are you with me? So, same way a man that is born again. Hallelujah. The fact that you don't see anything, any effect, does not mean he's not saved. Galatians 5:22. I read in the workers' meeting today. But the fruit of the Spirit is... I'll wait for you. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is next, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness. 23. 24 now. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, and they have. And so these things are the proofs to men. Those are the effect of the wind. Are you following me? They are the effect of the wind, not the real thing. They are effects, proofs to men, not to God. Check Titus 3. Titus 3 verse 4. Titus 3 verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, verse 5, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the verse 6 through Jesus Christ, verse 7, that's being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of what? So that is factual. You have no contribution to that. But see verse 8. Want to go as loud as you can read? Yes, sir. Saying, these things are we that thou affirm constantly. that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain these things are good and profitable unto God.
Amen.
Unto God.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
So who really need your good works, God or men? And of course, don't forget, like we studied in the vigil, in serving men, you please God. Something like that, right? That means, if I relate well to men, if I do my redemptive duty to men, with that, God is well pleased. Good. But you have to know who is looking for those fruit of the Spirit. Who needs it? Men, not God. John 3. So, because the new birth is not about you, a believer is actually the product of something greater than him. That is a mistake we often make when we discuss salvation on Facebook, WhatsApp group, which is actually a very terrible place to discuss salvation. WhatsApp is very terrible. Very terrible. Amen. Before you say Jesus is Lord, they have posted our daily man. Before you finish talking, they have posted my GOCs. Amen. So, you never, I remember there was a time I did a post, about 9 posts. Somebody was challenging me, say, if I know what I'm saying, say I should come and defend my salvation. I say, eh. I say, okay. I say, ensure you respond though. And I did 9 posts. I call it in defense of eternal salvation. I didn't know anybody that remembers those posts then. He was thinking I will be talking about yes, because we have believed, because we have done this, and because we have did it. Once we believe, we are this. I wrote about very long posts. I didn't talk about man once. Why? The believer is a product of something greater than him. In discussing salvation, you don't talk about that little man's responsibility. You focus on the Savior's duty. That Savior's duty is your salvation. Your believing is just to receive a done deal. Hallelujah. To receive is to what? Is to... So, to believe is to us to receive something that has been done, finalized. Okay. So, go back to that John 3. Now, verse 7, verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What's that telling you? Nicodemus himself knew that anything that is called the birth process is irreversible. Irreversible. If you have been born, you don't need another birth. That is why he now said, okay, the one you being born of your mother, that is you being born of the flesh. But the one I am speaking about is you being born of what? Of the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. President, are you good? You are good? Are you sure? You need a jacket? Can you give me this? Okay. The new birth is for the spirit of man to be united with the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. 1-2 go, everybody. But he that is joined unto the Lord is. Amen. Again, 1-2 go. Again, 1-2 go. But he that is joined. Ephesians 1, verse 12. What I mean, Daddy? Daddy, pick him. Ephesians 1 verse 12. Let me read 12. You read 13 for me. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. 13, you want to go? after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of Hallelujah. So when a man believes the gospel, he receives the Holy Ghost when? Instantly. When a man believes that gospel, he receives the Spirit when? Instanta. Acts chapter 5. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's sins upon us, blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than... Are you with me, everybody? Okay, let me read 30 and 31. You read 32 for me. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hung on the tree, him as God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. 32, yes? Again, 32. Hallelujah. So, when a man believes the gospel, to obey him there is not, anyway, I'm coming there, it's not about obeying the laws of Moses. Some people say, hey, can you see? It's when you obey that you will give. Obey what? Obey the gospel. When you believe. Galatians 4 verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent for his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent for the spirit of his son into your heart, crying what? Abba, Father. Verse 7, want to go? Wherefore? Hallelujah. Praise God. So being born again will mean, number one, that you are born from above. It will also mean you are united with the Spirit of God. He said, because you are a son, God has sent the Spirit of his son into where? Your heart. Crying, Abba, Father. Say, I am not a slave of God. Say, I'm not a slave. I'm a son. Amen. John 3. So being born again will mean, number one, you came from above. It will also mean you are united with the Spirit of God. Okay, let's now focus on the process. How shall this thing be? Look at verse 13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, God's path is to provide a sacrifice. God's path is to provide the salvation, while man's path is not to deny what has been done for him. You can see in that verse 14, 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
So God's part is to what? Ensure Jesus is raised up. God's part is to provide a sacrifice for our sins. God's part is to provide that atonement that we need, is to provide that forgiveness, the covering, the remission, the cancellation of sins that we require. So in salvation, do we have man's part in salvation? Capital letter, yes. What is man's part? John 3. Please, I've told you, the little time you are spending in church, prioritize it. The what you are getting here is what you should ruminate, brood upon throughout the week. John 3. 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Let me read 32, you read 33 for me. And what he has seen and heard, that he testified, and no man receiveth his testimony. 33, want to go, everybody? And he that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God, again, want to go? Receive his testimony. Juliet and Tola alone, read for me. Want to go? Again, Juliet and Tola alone, read for me. Want to go? See their voice. Juliet, are you not hearing? Is it not Juliet? What's her name? Are you not opening? What are you doing? You're opening. Oh yeah, both of you again. Want to go? Be on your feet and read it again. One, two. See, she didn't even know where we are reading. John 3, 33. Want to go? He that has received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Amen. You know, by the time we have congregation as much as maybe let's say a thousand congregation. Of here, you'll be sitting at all of you be ushers, so you'll be standing just you man five rows, you ensure everybody's opening their Bible. Amen. Ah, yeah, you will open. But I know there's no shortcut to spiritual growth, I know, and I will not want you coming, spending your transport fare, inconveniencing yourself. Instead of you just go to that church beside your house and dance your story to Jesus, and you're coming there, I will ensure you grow. I will have a life. Praise God. Okay. So, when you receive his testimony, what have you done? You will set it to your own seal. That means, that believing is actually also a lot. When to receive his testimony is to accredit yourself. Aya. That will mean God just like, imagine a check of 1 million naira given to you, and the stamp is with you. Man, the stamp is with you, for the word is near thee, even in your mouth, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt what? Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. So the stamp is with man. Go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Your note must be so thick that you can use it to preach tomorrow. Amen? I think I have to be going around seeing what you are writing. Some of you that write shorthand. You know it's called shorthand? Amen, amen. Amen, amen. You must not write shorthand. You must not write key points. I've told you, if you want me to be bringing Netscape to church, I will bring it for you. You must not sleep. It's not Kana. You have a Netscape dispenser. But you help me also get it right? Say yes. It will be under the ushering team. The ushering will be having Netscape allowance. No tea. Sorry, no milk, no ketchup.
Okay. Isaiah, no sugar. I told you. Isaiah 53 verse 1. 1 to go, everybody. Yes, sir. Who had believed? Again, who had believed our report and to whom? So when you believe God's report, you uncover the power of God. I've explained that in this church, that to whom is the power. To reveal there means to disclose, to uncover, to make bare, to make naked. When you believe God's report, you naked the power of God for your favor. Hallelujah. So that was the process. Read verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. Everybody wants to go? Come on. When you are saying, stop, stop. And when you are saying surely, ensure you are saying it like you mean what he's saying. Shout surely.
Surely.
Hallelujah. Say, he has borne my grief.
He has borne my grief.
He has carried my sorrows.
He has carried my sorrows.
Read verse 5, want to go?
For God was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
The chastisement of my peace. And by his stripes.
We are healed.
Amen. We are healed, we are saved. There is also the same thing. So the new birth is the outcome of the sacrifice of Jesus. Is the outcome. Say, I am born from above.
I am born from above.
Say, I am born of the Spirit.
I am born of Spirit.
Now, and the reason why the new birth is irreversible, now on the physical plane, the reason why the physical birth of is irreversible is because Brother Joshua cannot enter again into his mother's womb and be born. But in the spiritual and parallel, the reason why the new birth is irreversible is because that union that exists between God, man's spirit, and God's spirit is totally irreversible. That union cannot be broken, cannot be separated. Are you following me, Juliet? I'm not talking. Are you cold? Hungry? Better than Bruce? John 14. I didn't know who sent you to that back. Verse 1. John 14 verse 1. Okay. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Please, calm down. Read this slowly. I want to explain this chapter. Then I close. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4, and whither I go, you know not, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him. And Philip now said, okay. He said, Philip said unto him, Lord, just show us the Father and I will be okay. Give us some rhema. Give us some demo now. Just show us. Just give us a glimpse of the Father. I said, Father, Philip, have you seen? Yeah. Are you okay?
Fine.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 9. Want to go? Yes. And 5 be
he that has seen me, yeah, seen the Father.
Ah, you saying you should be the Father? Even Jesus was bragging. So Jesus was pitying him. Don't know how surprised that. I say you have seen. That's serious. See verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? But the Father that dwells me. Verse 11. And the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works. 12. Very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than this he shall do, because I go unto my Father. Stop. Because what? What do you think is the meaning of because I go unto the Father? Where is the way to the Father? Huh? Jesus is going to the Father. Where is Jesus going to pass to the Father? Huh? What do you say? Himself. He will pass himself to the Father. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Where is the road to the Father? If you want to go to the Father, where will you go through? Cross! Wait, see. If you want to do it yourself, what must you do? Go to the cross. Now, I was telling one guy, I said, you want to save yourself, right? I said, the way to save yourself is not by keep wearing good skirt and dress. Yes, it's okay, but that is not the way you will save yourself. If you want to do your salvation, head for the cross. Get yourself crucified. Then from the cross, ensure you go to hell. And in hell, try to raise yourself, and you know how far. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Try to raise yourself. Because it's not that God will be saying, I'm coming to carry you out from here. No. So the path to life is death. Amen. The path to life is what? Is death. So, that journey is the process. That journey, that process is your salvation. Is journeying to the cross, him being made sin, buried in hell, being raised from the dead, ascending to the right hand of God. That process is actually your salvation. What you do when you believe is not salvation, it's you receiving what has been done. Amen. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? I say, hallelujah. But I told you, you are not here. Where's your mind? Where's your spirit? Where's your soul? I can only see your body. Amen. Okay, verse 13 now. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, go to verse 15. Want to go? If you love me. 16. Now, stop. Now, it's a common assumption. Verse 15 is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then 16, then you will have the Holy Ghost and he will be in you forever. So it's a common assumption. When you tell a man that the Spirit of God cannot leave a man, he will say no. What Jesus is saying is, actually says that when you keep my commandments, then you will have the Holy Ghost and he will not leave. Amen. So when would that be? Now, see, let's focus on verse 15 for now. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Number one, that word to keep will mean to hold fast. It will mean to observe. If you love me, hold fast to my commandment. If you love me, observe my commandment. Uphold my commandment. And now, my commandments there will mean what? Verse 1. Read verse 1. Want to go? What are you told to do in verse 1? Go to verse 10. Read verse 10. Yes. What are you to do in verse 10? Verse 11. Go to verse 12. So, how do you obey Jesus' commandments? Believe. Amen. Now, the same thing was actually repeated in the next chapter, John 15. Thank you, Jesus. John 15, verse 1. It's also under cantankerous scripture, judging from the way people interpret it. John 15, verse 1. I am the what? True vine. And my father is the farmer, right? Is the husbandman. Verse 2. Stop. Every branch where?
In me.
Where is this branch of verse 2? In me. Where is the branch of branch verse 2 again? Sorry. In me. Okay. Every branch where? In me. That beareth not fruit. What is the issue of the branch? He is not bearing fruit, right? What does he do? He taketh away. Okay. And every branch that what? Beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth. Okay. Now, this is how to interpret the Bible. The branch that is bringing fruit, you will purge it so that it can bring more fruit. Okay. But the branch that is not bringing fruit, you will throw away. Are you okay? Tinko, you are a farmer. You have two crops. One is doing well. You focus on that. It's now doing better. One did not do well. You just took it uproot. I don't know what went into King James when they are translating just this point. Because that word, he taketh away. Everything was just one word in the Greek. That should be A-I-R-O. Not Aro. Iro. Aro is a Yoruba. I want a Yoruba term. A-I-R-O. It means he elevates. He raises upwards. The same thing he does to the branch that is not bringing fruit is the same thing he does to the branch that is what? Bringing fruit. All scripture are given by the inspiration of God, profitable for what? Reproof, for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. So if you are not wrong, will you need correction? No. If you are not going astray, he told Timothy, say, observe this thing, for in you observing them, you will both save yourself and them that hear thee. He said in Colossians 1, 27, 28, he said, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He said in Hebrews chapter 12, around verse 4, verse 5, he said, the son whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chastise. That we might be partaker of his holiness. So, when you are not bringing fruit, what does he do to you? He elevates you by the ministry gift. Remember Ephesians 4, verse 11? He gave some what? Apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some teachers. Sorry, teachers and pastors. Which one is the last? It should be pastor. Oh no, teacher is the last. For the what? Edification of the saints. For the what? Sorry, for the perfection of the saints. For the edification of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the what? Unity of the faith. Unto the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. That we henceforth be no more what? Children. Toast, toe, and fro. Carry the belt with every what? Wind of doctrine and slight craftiness. Whereby the lying way to deceive. So, when you are not bringing fruit, what will he do to you? He will correct you. He will instruct you until you are doing better. He doesn't cast you away. He take it away. That means he elevates. Now, but from verse 3, the game now starts to change. So, don't forget from verse 2, there is no judgment for any branch that is already in him. Amen. There is no judgment for any branch that is already in him. Go to John 5 briefly, verse 24. Please, I will soon close. Please give me your attention. John 5, 24. Yes, John 5, 24. Be fast. Want to go? Verily, verily, I say unto ye, he that and believeth on him, at what? And shall not come to, but he has what? Passed from death to. Hallelujah.
So come back to John 15. There is no judgment for any branch that is already in him. Rather, the man will be corrected and instructed that he might bring forth more fruit. Are you with me? Now, but from verse 3, he said, now you are clean, oh, through the word which I have spoken unto you. But verse 4, see, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. Stop. That will mean one sure reason why a man will not bear fruit at all is if he didn't abide. Amen? Amen? One sure, and don't forget, same way, the way we interpreted keep my commandments in verse 4 is not like keep doing this, is to believe. So what will that abide mean? See verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can what? Now this one is definite. This is without me. Now see the judgment of the man that is without him. Verse 6. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and man gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So this will be a judgment of what? Of unbelief. Are you with me? So to abide, now you are saying, but he's saying they have believed. No, calm down. For instance, the people he was talking to here, was Judas not part of them? Hello? Was he not part of them? He was there. In fact, when he was telling them all this why that he will die, he will be raised from the dead, how many of them believed? If they believed he will rise from the dead on that third day, where would they be? On the tomb. They were going to be waiting. He's coming soon. He's coming. In fact, would they even leave the tomb? They would just be doing party. In 3 days' time. Hey, Agbara, power is coming. Hallelujah. What are they doing? If he's fishing, it will be better. Hiding. Even on the cross, they couldn't even go and fight the Romans defending. Peter here, once more, where's Rejoice? Like Rejoice was saying, are you not with him? He know. I didn't know. Some people, I think there was a day, I think I was going, and I saw, where is that? I saw a lady. Well, I knew it was going my direction, is it out of the estate? And I just picked that. You enter somebody's car, can't even say thank you. Just enter. Was not going. Are you going to drop me here or you take me to the front? Some people think that this feminist thing appeals to everybody. Like, can't even say thank you. Because she's used to it. Amen. That's what some men are now extra hard. Anyway, maybe I will repent. I think that was last day I picked somebody from that penthouse estate just to take them to the junction. So, Peter, small girl, just talking. Marcus was trying to challenge Jesus. He took knife, cut off Marcus' head. Well, small girl. Girls are something. Amen. Praise God. Now, go to John 16. Look, go to the third to the last verse. What's the end? So after all the sermon, he now asks them again, are you sure you have believed? That will mean verse 1 and 2 is not an authentication that they have believed. He's simply talking about the what? He's talking about what happens to a man that has believed. So don't look at that, those apostles, like as a prototype of born again folks. No. So to abide in verse 3, verse 4, verse 5 in of John 15 will be to what? To believe. Of course, to abide is not to, it's not for you to keep things. And if I want to expand this better to you, I will tell you that Jesus was actually taking them on a journey. And they must get to the end of that journey. The end of the journey was for them to believe in him as the one who came to the world to take away the sin of the world, to believe in his resurrection. That is the end point. So in the process, they are forced to believe that he came from God. They are forced to believe that he passed in the virgin birth. They are forced to believe that he was anointed. That's how they did miracles. So, but that is not the end. He is not just, they have believed in him as a miracle worker, but they have not yet believed in him as the one who came to the world to take away the sin of the world. That is why in Luke 24, when two guys are going on the road to Emmaus, and they say, and Jesus was not walking with them, they say they are talking with themselves. And just tell them, what are you guys saying? They say, have you not heard how Jesus Christ, a mighty prophet? That day, Jesus will just be like this. Yes, yes, soon. So all I am to these people is a what? A prophet. Ha ha. Ha ha. After 3.5 years of ministry. Yes, these are our prophet now. No, our major one. Amen. All they could see in Jesus was just major one. Hope you know who is major one. Let him that is ignorant. Ignorance there. That is all they could see of him. That is a mighty prophet. He has died though, and we can't see him. Although some people are saying he rose, but we don't know the rubbish the guests are saying. So do you know that Jesus is not wrong when he now say, "Oh fools, sloth, inu rebu oh run, sir." Sorry, that's your Yoruba. I'm sorry. I can't even interpret that. You know, rebel with me was your whole body, your whole soul is decayed. Oh, Ron, that would mean that there is no sun to dry it. Amen. So, he was taking them on a journey. So, they must abide in his doctrine, in what he is teaching them, so that they can be the first type of people, the first fruit of redemption, the first people that will believe. Amen. So to abide will mean to them, it will mean to eventually get to the end of revelation, which is to believe in his words, death, burial, and resurrection. So come back to John 14, verse 16. This is where I'm going ever since. So to abide is to believe. And John 14, 16 now said, what? Want to go? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, that he might abide with you as long as you come to church. That he might abide with you as long as you pay your tithe and offering. That he might abide with you as long as you know. Give me what you must do. As long as you what? Pay your first fruit, for it's January. And in 2 weeks' time, they will pay your salaries. So ensure you bring your first fruit. If you don't tithe, no more kingdom. No more kingdom. Choir. No more kingdom. You don't know how you should sing it then? This people will be doing the call. This will be the response. Oh yeah. If you don't tithe, no, you don't know how we do it then. You will face your neighbor. You see? Oh yeah, brethren, let's face our neighbor.
If you smoke weed.
Of course, you should not smoke weed.
Oh, Jesus. Don't worry, we have a session very soon on Christian worship. All these songs, we trash them out. Amen, amen.
John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Definite statement is a checkmate. Like, there is nothing you can do to that verse. There's no translator that is, I've checked as much as I can. Nobody was able to twist that verse to mean that if you believe very well and you do some works. No, nobody was able to twist it. Hallelujah. Somebody will say, he's still conditional. No, he said, I will give you another comforter to the intent that the comforter will abide with you forever. So the reason why the comforter will abide forever is because of what Jesus did to give him. Hallelujah.
Are you with me? Babies, just give us a few minutes. We'll be done.
So, see verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall.
Hallelujah. Can you see the word shall? Shall, right? That means futuristic.
Think about it. That means in John 15, if John 15 will mean that they are already believers, then he should have said the Spirit is where? Already in them. But he said he will be in you. Why? Because of two things. Number one, redemption has not been finalized. Number two, you have not believed in what will be finalized. So to them, it was futuristic. But to us, it is a reality. Hallelujah. Praise God. He now said in verse 18, 19, I'm closing now. Say, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. So when we are saying Christ in you, the hope of glory, we are actually saying the Holy Ghost is in you. Amen. Amen. Jesus is a man like me. Like today now, is he a man? Praise God. Of course, he might be in another location, but he's a man. Yes, he is a man. That's why we say God, a man who died for man. He rose as what? A man. So we give praise to God, a man who died for men. Praise God. So still today, he is still a man. A man. But he is in us today. How? By his Spirit. That's why the Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of Christ. 19, say, yet a little while, the world seeth me no more. But what? Hallelujah. Because I live. Hallelujah. Because he live. Jesus, I live. Sing with me. I'm closing. I have no fear of what tomorrow be, yeah, because you live, Jesus, today, I live to praise your name.
So to be born again will mean to have that forever indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. To be born again means to have the Holy Ghost forever. Say, I have the Holy Ghost now and forever. So if you are sure and you are claiming that the Holy Ghost can leave you at any time, then you are not born again. The man that is born again have the permanent residence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not a refugee to the man that is born again. The Holy Ghost is not an alien. The Holy Ghost dwells in him forever. So please, when you are preaching, to be born again is beyond having the Holy Ghost. It is to have the Holy Ghost for how long?
Forever.
So last week I said to be born again is to be what? Born from above. That means you started in heaven. So we don't even bother about heaven at last. No, it's heaven at first. We started there. And today, I am simply saying, to be saved is to have that permanent dwelling of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray in tongues where you are. Thank you. Pray in tongues. What a wonderful name it is. The name Jesus Christ, my King. Pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Come on. Don't be casual. Don't be casual. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. I have the Holy Ghost now and forever. I have the Holy Ghost now. Come on, pray, pray, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Get louder. Now and forever. Now and forever. I've got your spirit. Come on, pray, 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 pray. Now and forever. 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 God in man, keep praying. Who died for man? And he rose as a man. So we give praise to God, amen. Who died for man? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Say, I have the Holy Ghost now and forever. Amen.